if you've been with us over the last few months, as we've been looking at the idea of what's involved in journeying together, you'll remember some of the things that we looked at, and we recognise that we're all on the journey of life together. And we have that amazing privilege of travelling that journey, of going down that path in company with God and with each other. And as we thought about different aspects of that, we were reminded of things that we already knew. We were surprised by new things, and we were challenged in different ways. And we looked at six things. We're going to see them on the screen in just a moment. And we're going to just remind ourselves very briefly of each of those six things we looked at under this idea of paraklesis, that Greek word that means lots and lots of things, including these six things. So I'm going to briefly summarise some of the things we talked about, some of the things that we've learned, some of the things we've experienced. And I want to say I'm grateful for those who, during that time, have shared something of their experiences with me. Some very encouraging and some really distressing, as people were really struggling with different things. We're going to think about that. So the first thing is caring. That's where we started. And there we looked at the story of what's known as the Good Samaritan, a story you find in the Bible. And there we find that a despised stranger, somebody who people didn't want to have anything to do with, was prepared to help a man who'd been beaten and robbed and left to die. And we asked ourselves the question, when we see someone in need, how much are we prepared to put aside our own plans, our own agenda, our own priorities, and to commit ourselves to that person in their time of need, to bring the support and the help that they are looking for at that time? And as we got to the end of the story, we found a challenge that Jesus gave to the person who asked the question that triggered the story. And Jesus says to him, go and do likewise. So it's not just a nice story, but it's a challenge for us to be prepared to go and care for those in need. And one thing that came through strongly as we discussed this during the last few weeks is that it's something that we need to be intentional about. It's not just something that happens by accident, but we need as a community of people to have that desire, have that intention to reach out to others, so that no one who wants to engage with others is left feeling alone or isolated. And that's something we thought about and something we need to pick up on and explore further. We went on to think about love, and we reminded ourselves of the challenging words of Jesus, those words that we read at the beginning of our time together, to love each other in the same way as Jesus has loved us. And we thought about a time when Jesus decided that he was going to feed a crowd of thousands of people, when the disciples, actually, they just had enough. They just wanted to send them away. They wanted a bit of a break. And Jesus showed them that actually loving people, yes, is hard work, but amazingly rewarding. And we were challenged to think about whether we are prepared to be people who really love and come alongside each other, to bring what we have, to offer it to Jesus, and to see how he can bless it. And Sue Bilson, reflecting on this in one of our services, spoke about how she had been challenged by this. Not that it was something that she didn't already know. She knew we were supposed to love each other. But a reminder that that needs to be a fundamental part of who and what we are. We went on to think about journeying, think about life as a journey. And to illustrate this, we thought about the story of two disciples, two followers of Jesus who were walking to a village called Emmaus. And Jesus came and walked with them. Jesus had just been killed, and here, 3 days later, he'd come back to life, but they didn't know that. And they were distressed, they were sad, they were walking, they didn't recognize Jesus. And Jesus comes along and he journeys with them. He spends time with them. He engages with them in an amazing way, a way that changed their lives to the extent that they did know who he was. And as they recognized that, they decided to go back and tell their friends about what they had just found out.
And we thought about the resource that we each have, our own life experience that we can offer as a gift to others. As God has been there for us through good times and bad. And we can share that as we journey with each other. In our discussion group thinking about this, Ruth made the point that journeying with someone is a skill. And it's true, and it's important to recognize, and it's something that it'd be good if we can work on and develop, to develop those skills so that we can more effectively come alongside people and journey with them. We thought about living, we thought about life. And here we looked at the time that Jesus comes up to a lame man who's by a pool in Jerusalem at a place called Bethesda. A man for whom life has no hope at all. Life is not what he wanted it to be, but it was what he'd reconciled himself to. This was it, as far as he could see. The same boring, humble existence every day for the rest of his life. But Jesus comes and it gives him the opportunity for a new life and is able to transform his situation forever. And by journeying with others, we can have the opportunity to encourage them to realize that there are different options, that life can change. And the power of Jesus we can offer them gives us the ability to say there is hope, just as Jesus was able to do with this lame man, and to enable him to walk and to enter into a new experience of life. Sometimes it does need someone from outside to come along and remind us that we do have choices, that whatever is in our past, we can choose to live and to do so in the power and the name of Jesus. We thought about healing. Maybe the most difficult thing that we explored together as we recognize the reality of brokenness. That people have been hurt in many different ways. They sometimes carry the resultant scars for a long time. We recognize that holding on to anger and bitterness can cause ongoing damage in our own lives. But also recognize that sometimes it was difficult to let those things go, to forgive and to move on as healed and restored people. And over these last few weeks, people out of experience of real pain have spoken to me about the difficulty of forgiveness, about not even being able to forgive themselves, about how difficult it is to forgive others, but how it's important to do so as a necessary part of this process. And that is important for us to realize and to be prepared to do. We looked at the story of Jesus who healed a woman who had been crippled, bent over for 18 years. But we saw that there was hope. We saw there was the opportunity to open ourselves up to being healed by God's grace and to find freedom in doing so. Often the pains and the hurts we carry are hidden beneath the surface of our lives, but they affect how we are and how we engage with others. And so we talked about healing for ourselves, but also coming alongside those who need to experience healing as well to help them in that process. And the final thing we looked at was connecting. And here we widened our focus to go beyond our church community and to think about how we can take these ideas and principles into the wider world in obedience to what Jesus has commanded us to do, to go into the world and to spread the good news about him. We thought about another lame man, this one who was sitting outside the gate of the temple in Jerusalem. And two of the followers of Jesus, Peter and John, came and spoke to him. And we recognized they couldn't help with what he was asking for. They wanted money. He didn't have money. But they could help him with something more important, the ability to walk. And in that, we saw Peter and John sharing the experience they had of Jesus. They had seen him make lame people walk. And they reached out in the power of his name, and they brought blessing and healing to that person in his place of need. And the question we were left with was whether we were prepared to do the same in the context in which we live with the people we meet. A few weeks ago, Sylvia shared something with me about a neighbour who came up to her and said, "I've just been diagnosed with breast cancer." And Sylvia, who's gone through that experience herself, was able to share something of her experience, was able to explain the sort of things that she should expect, and to promise to be there for her during her treatment. Sylvia, as she was speaking to me, realised that this was an example of some of the things that we've been talking about and sharing together. So it's been an interesting, a powerful, a thought-provoking journey, and one which I believe and trust will help us all to engage with, to care for each other better, to be a real source of blessing and encouragement to those we meet outside the church as well. Please do continue to think and to pray about how you can be part of this. Please feel free to fill in a journey card. They're on the table on the way out if you haven't already done so. Thanks to those who have. We have got back to some people. We will follow up on all of them. In 2 weeks' time, in our morning service, we'll be picking up this theme again and thinking about some of our responses to what we have learned, how we can take some of these things forward. We'll be praying for healing for those who need it. We'll be reminding ourselves through communion how much Jesus cared for and loves us, how he was willing to journey with us, and how he offers healing and wholeness and the opportunity for a new, transformed life. Let's continue to be people who journey together. Let's pray for a moment.
Right, well, it's really excellent actually to hear what you've been looking at and thinking about over the last sort of few weeks, couple of months, in journeying with people, caring for people, coming alongside people. And that's been a lot of our experience on the border of Thailand and Burma. And it's great to be here this morning because we want to be able to say a thank you to you, because we feel that that you have been journeying with us. We, throughout our time in Thailand, which has been about 3.5 years, we feel like we've been supported, cared for, prayed for. And we know people here have been praying for us, and we really appreciate that. It's meant a lot to us. So thank you for journeying with us. We just want to share a little bit of our experiences, and also to confirm as well that we are coming to the end of our time with BMS. So we won't be going back to Thailand. We'll be settling here in the UK. So to share some of our experiences now is fantastic. So actually, just to give a bit of a recap for those perhaps that don't know, a bit of the context that we've been living and working in. So we've been living in Thailand in a place called Mae Sot. So it's on the border of Thailand, and officially I think we'd call it Myanmar, but we probably will refer to it as Burma throughout what we say this morning. Most of our Burmese friends would still refer to it as Burma. And we've been working as BMS mission workers seconded to Compassio, which is a Christian mission, a relief and development organisation, which exists to serve, walk alongside the most vulnerable Burmese women and children that live in Mae Sot. Although technically Mae Sot is in Thailand, there's more Burmese people living there than there is Thai people. This is a picture of the border. There's a natural river border, and Burmese people cross this river in these boats all the time, and they're crossing illegally. There's a bridge just out of shot here, which is the official legal way to cross, but Burmese people are still streaming across this border, mainly as economic migrants. They're desperate to find work, desperate to find some sort of income for themselves and their families, because in Burma it's incredibly poor. They suffered a lot over decades of dictatorship, a military junta, which has oppressed the people, and it's changing very slowly. So there is technically a democratic party now in power, but that military junta, a lot of the rulers are still have a lot of power in that new government, and the people still are feeling oppressed. There's a lack of infrastructure, there's a lack of jobs, a lack of healthcare, a lack of schools, a lack of opportunities. So Burmese people still come across this border into Mae Sot, and they're vulnerable, they are poor, they live in poverty, and they are exploited. And these are the people that Compassio works to help. These are the people that myself and Lydia have experienced over the last 3.5 years. And Compassio, this is some of our Compassio colleagues. Compassio is quite a small organisation, about 20, 25 people. It's only been going for about 10 years. It's relatively a young organisation. Most of the staff are quite young Burmese Christians, supported by people like myself and Lydia, a few other mission workers from around the world. And those Burmese staff go into the Burmese migrant community in Mae Sot every day, and sometimes they're doing work in small groups like this. But this is an example of journeying with people. So our Compassio Burmese colleagues will, every day they will be in the migrant community spending time with people, sometimes in small groups, sometimes individually. And it really is relational. It's about coming alongside people, spending time with them, listening to them. And when I hear about all that has been shared so far this morning, and looking at some of the themes that you've already been thinking about, praying about, a lot of those we can relate to in the work that Compassio does. But this one in particular as well, just thinking about spending time with people, and it's also about really listening to people. We heard earlier, it's quite a skill to journey with people. It's a real skill to listen to people. And what's happening here is our Burmese friends are spending time with people. They're really listening and trying to understand what is the root of people's problems or issues, because it's really easy to look at them and say, well, they're poor. They live in poverty. They don't have material things. They don't have jobs. That's the problem. But actually, what we've noticed that it often goes a lot deeper. So people are living in poverty, they don't have jobs. But what our Burmese colleagues realise, and what we've come to see, is that it's more about broken relationships. People are broken because families have split up. They're suffering from things like loss of confidence, lack of identity. And we found that we've experienced working with some Burmese families living on Mae Sot's rubbish dump. And it's easy to look at those people and say, they are so poor. They're living in stinky conditions. They don't have work. Let's give them stuff. Let's give them stuff so they won't be so lacking in material things. And there's a place for that. But actually what Compassio is about is coming alongside people and really understanding that it's not about material things. As I was saying, it's about their brokenness. It's going to families and recognizing that the father in the family is not even attempting to go out and find work. Because he's got such a lack of confidence. He's lost his identity. And so a lot of what Compassio does is actually encouraging people, trying to build them up, looking for ways that you can encourage people to actually move on or find work in ways that's appropriate to them, and so that they are essentially helping themselves. It's not a handout. So we see lots of other organisations, NGOs, working with these poor people groups, and they just give them loads of stuff, loads of material things. And so those families who receive all this material these material possessions, they don't really change. They just receive the stuff. Sometimes they sell it, and don't really necessarily use it. But actually, they're the root problem is still the same. They're still feeling pretty low, in confidence and lacking in this identity. So compassio is all about really, really listening to people, understanding the root of the problem, and building people up. So compassio does a lot of work in the community, but it also runs shelters and care homes for the most vulnerable women and children. And one of the things that we've been involved in is actually helping compassio to transition from a residential institutional care model of working to more of a family-based care model. So the children that were in compassio's care homes, they're technically in institutional care, and it's not the best place for a child to grow up. They don't get what they need in terms of development. So compassio is now looking to do more by way of placing those children into foster care, where they're actually in a loving family. So we've been involved in that, and Lydia's going to talk a bit more about that in a moment. But just a reminder as well of some of the actual work that we've been involved in. So Lydia was teaching English to Compassio's Burmese and Thai staff, but also in the community. So this is a very poor Muslim community right in the heart of Mae Sot, and Lydia's teaching English to these kids. Amazing experience. For myself, I was involved in fundraising, supporter relations, generating finances and prayer support to help Compassio's work to grow and to continue. But actually, for both of us, although we had specific roles, we felt that the most important thing for us was actually encourage our Burmese colleagues, so the Burmese and Thai staff at Compassio. And again, in terms of journeying with people, that's what we felt was the most significant thing about our time there, to be able to encourage those staff who, the Burmese staff themselves, had actually spent time living in refugee camps along the border. And so they were the ones that were going into the community and helping people because they could relate to them. They themselves had a lot of issue and past struggles and pain that they needed to be healed from, and actually to encourage them, to stand by them every day, to be able to pray with them, was a big thing for us. And I think it was, again, a key factor in journeying with people. It's about being present. It's about being there, and encouraging people in their walk. And I'm actually going to pass over to Lydia now, who's going to share some stories of some people that we've experienced, some people that Compassio has helped.
Great to be here. Journeying is a skill. I love that. Yes, that's a great, and it's so exciting to be here, and that you as a church are on this really exciting journey. So as Brian sort of touched upon, we were working with Compassio to help transition them out of residential care. So children that were in homes, small group homes, we were helping to move them out. And there are two stories that I want to share with you that were special to us because we knew these children, but great examples of how the Compassio team came alongside these children and families. And there was a lot for us to wrestle with and learn from. So I'm just going to share these two stories. Have a look. These are some of the children that were under Compassio's care and actually who will be placed into families. Actually, when we started, Compassio had three children's homes and now just has one, which actually is really good news. That's good news because they're in families. There's some more. Okay, this is the story. This is a little Burmese boy called Thatha. Thatha was born in a clinic in Mae Sot, and sadly he was born with a digestive problem. His mother had come over the border from Burma, very poor, just didn't know what to do with this little baby who had this problem. And sadly, she left him at the clinic. So just days old, mother who didn't have the capacity, didn't know what to do. She went back to Burma. And that's sadly quite a common story, that lots of babies are abandoned at this local clinic. Compassio thankfully was able to step in and pay for the operation, which actually was a very standard procedure. Little Tata had the op, was fine, and he was brought into Compassio's care. At the time, they ran a home for abandoned babies. Sadly, we were never able to trace his mother or father. So Tata, for the first 4 years of his life, that's him as a baby. Tata was in residential care with Compassio. But as Brian said, we were transitioning these children out of the homes and into families, which was a really exciting thing to be part of. And just 2 months ago, here we go, Tata, in the middle there, was placed into a family. So this is Tata with his family. And I was fortunate enough to be part of the process of placing this little boy. And as part of that process, we had to go to their home. So this family, Matu and her husband, Pakwa, Burmese, living in Mesot illegally, no documents. And they were very poor. And strangely, they were living on a big patch of ground that was actually a cemetery. So Pakwa, the husband, was a groundskeeper. He tended to this cemetery where they lived. It was very isolated. And I remember going to their house for the first time and my heart just sinking. In front of me was this bamboo shack on stilts, just sort of, you know, leaves for a roof, no walls. There was no running water, no electricity. There was no toilet. There was litter strewn across the ground. There was a fire on the ground, an open fire, little kids running around. There were pigs snuffling under the house, stray dogs, cats, chickens. And as a mother to a nearly 2-year-old, I just thought, this is no place for a child. So with a bit of help, thankfully, we were able to resolve this, and Compassio was able to help this family. They were able to help them find new jobs, find a new home, so that they could care for this little boy. And the wonderful news is that now Tata has been placed into this family, and he has a sister called she's called Liliwa, and Liliwa will now say, "This is Tata. This is my brother." What struck me about this family, I just find them so inspiring, and it's very humbling, the fact that this family were just so poor. They were so poor. Yet they felt really called by God, actually. They were Christians, and they felt that calling of, and that sense of, we want to help, we want to do something for this little boy. And that's what they did. And the story with them will be ongoing. And Brian's touched upon this walking alongside, as Compassio walks alongside this family. It has taken a lot of time to really listen to them, to work out their needs, and to support them in ways that are going to be beneficial. And so easy, it's easy to assume that we know what will be best. But Compassio staff have really taken time to understand this couple, to empower them. And that's a really important thing, empowering people, not doing what they can do themselves. So we're just excited for this little boy and the fact that he now has a family, that now belongs. The other story that I want to share is about a girl who we both knew who was in one of the homes. She was called Nok, and her story actually began in southern Thailand. She was She was one of six siblings. She was born to a large Muslim family. And as a little girl, she was used to poverty, that her parents would have to go out begging on the streets to earn money, domestic violence, abuse. It was all commonplace. So from a very, very young age, this girl had had a tough life. Her parents split up and the family separated. Three children went with the father, three children went with the mother. And not long after, this little girl, Nock, was accused of stealing from a shop. So often this happens that the police will come in and round them up, round up the illegal Burmese migrants. And this little girl and her mother and brother were rounded up in a van and taken 15 hours north, bizarrely, to Meisot. So that's how they ended up there. They got to the immigration at Meisot, but being illegal, no papers, immediately sent over the border to Burma, which to them was a, even though they were ethnically Burmese, it was a foreign place to them. And the mother, in a desperate situation, having to care for her two children, no money, no job, she made a deal. Her mother made a deal with a local gang, basically to say, you can have my daughter if you give me money. And once I've got a job and I'm back on my feet, I'll give you the money back with interest and I'll take my daughter back. So it was a bit of an exchange, daughter for money. And sadly, this gang ran a brothel. This little girl was just six at the time. She was too young to work in prostitution, but she did work as a domestic slave in this brothel. Thankfully, she was able to escape. She escaped with an older girl. They escaped back over the border, but two young, vulnerable girls in Meisot, all alone, they ended up begging on the streets. She was reunited with her family, her mother and her brother. And they had settled in Meisot, and her mother had got into a new relationship, which was quite a disastrous relationship. Her mother was severely beaten, so to the extent that she was left brain damaged. This little girl experienced more violence in her neighbourhood. She was raped. So it was a very extreme situation when Compassio stepped in to this, and they were able to take the family out of this situation and take them in to their care homes. So when we met Nock, as you can imagine, she was about 13, 14 when we met her, very downcast, sad. She had just a very low self-esteem, struggled at school in her subjects. She was at the bottom of her class. She struggled with relationships. But there was a growing sense amongst the staff at Compassio that what would be really key for her and for children like her was forgiveness and reconciliation. That for healing for these children, some deep, deep work had to go on in their hearts. And that's what happened. They were taken away for a holiday camp. And the staff began that process with them of being able to forgive. And this young girl had an incredible amount to forgive. But she was able to do it. She was able to do it. She was able to start forgiving those that had wronged her and become reconciled to them. And what was amazing when this happened, when she did that, the transformation in her was—it was almost immediate. It was she was able to lift her head up. She suddenly had this confidence. She went from being the bottom in her class to being in the top two, and she's still there. She's still at the top of her class. She went from being shy to being a really confident, friendly young woman, and it's been an incredible transformation to see. And the the amazing thing about that, and as you know, and as Brian and I continue to think about how we walk alongside those in need, is that gift of forgiveness, that we as Christians have something incredibly powerful to offer to the world, to offer to our communities, that forgiveness is real and it can do some incredibly transformative things. And this family still have a long way to go, but it is wonderful to see her life transformed so in such big ways. I'm going to pass back to Brian, who I think is just going to pray for us.
Yeah, so these stories of Nok and Tata, they are examples of a lot of children that we experienced on the border. These stories are really familiar. They're not uncommon. And again, just picking up on the themes, it for us and for Compassio, it is about walking alongside people continually, those that are poor, marginalised, oppressed, those that are suffering. And as Graham said as well, it takes effort to journey with people, to walk alongside people. There are lots of ups and downs. There are no quick fix solutions most of the time. So you are being the hands and feet of Jesus. You are being present. It's like showing ongoing acts of compassion. I read recently, thinking about the Good Samaritan, I heard recently the Good Samaritan described as the compassionate Samaritan, and that there's a sort of sense of ongoing care and support. And so it's challenging. There is sacrifice. It does take time and effort to journey with people, especially if they're really suffering. But it is worth it, as we said. You do see lives sometimes very slowly transformed. Relationships are restored. People are healed, and you do see the kingdom values coming out, and there's lots of fruit. And so just to end, it's fantastic to hear that if you're journeying with each other, caring for each other in the church, supporting each other, but also further afield outside of the church, and you're looking to support people on an ongoing basis to show the love and compassion. And again, I was just thinking of those verses in 2 Corinthians at the start. I talked about that God is the Father of compassion. So just as an encouragement, keep showing that compassion. Think about how you can show people in appropriate ways the compassion of God. But just to finish with, these are some verses from Ephesians that were really important to us and our Compassio colleagues as we journeyed with people, because we know that if you are journeying with people, it is hard. It's hard work. It takes sacrifice, and you need that strength and power in order to do it, and that comes from the Holy Spirit. And for us, tuning into the Holy Spirit to have that strength and power for us and our colleagues at Compassio is about being rooted and established, or rooted and grounded in love. That meant that if we were rooted and grounded, then we could journey with people and share that love with people. We could do those acts of compassion, but we had to be rooted and grounded. If it was done in our own strength, it's good, but not quite good enough. And for us, being rooted and grounded, it was about stepping back in the busyness of life, the hecticness of life, and actually spending time in the presence of Jesus, spending time having a bit of quiet, meditating, and just listening and praying, listening to Jesus, And that helped us be rooted and grounded. And again, the parts in bold here, it was so important to us. It's the more that we could grasp the love of Jesus, how wide, how long, how high, how deep, the more we could know that love, the more we could give it out. So it, in a way that if it's an answer to be able to show those acts of compassion, it's about spending time with Jesus yourself and knowing God's love for us. So just to close, I actually want to read some of these words as a prayer for us all as we think about how we want to journey with people, care with people, support people, whether it's in this church, whether it's outside, whether it's people who perhaps are living in poverty and who are really suffering, or whether it's just journeying with friends, family, whatever their situation and scenario is. So, let's just close our eyes and I'll pray for us all. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his Holy Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. And I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the Lord's holy people to grasp how wide, and how long, high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to him who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work in us, to him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.